Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. With you are your hosts, Garth Nelson and...
Jen Barr.
And our producer. We have a producer.
Yes.
Now,
but I think that's what he's called.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
We're handing out titles, so, you know, while we're handing out titles, we might as well hand out good ones. So, thanks to our producer, Troy, who will be thanked again at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll use his last name when we thank him at the end of the show, too.
And welcome back, us! Welcome
yes.
to us!
It's been a year.
We have been gone for quite a while.
Yes.
Hope we haven't disappointed any of our fans out there by not broadcasting, but here we are again, broad podcasting.
So, I guess we should probably give a little explanation, right, of why.
Oh, okay, yes.
So, the idea was that our software was getting really crappy. I mean, well, it started out crappy. It didn't get crappy. But it was just getting too hard to work with. I think you probably, the listeners, noticed we had one in April, and the sound on my computer was just awful, and it was really hard to listen to. So it took 8 months for us to kick ourselves in the pants and get some real equipment and real software, and now we're back.
We are upgraded. This is Reach Mahjong Podcast 2.0.
Yes.
And to get us started off, I thought I would bring up the first random news topic of the year. What do you think about Obama's comments on Las Vegas? Do you know anything about this? It's funny. I just saw this on the news.
Apparently, you caught me totally off guard.
I
thought we were doing a Mahjong podcast.
That's what I wanted to do. So yeah, you got to catch people off guard. Then they know what they're. If they know what you're going to talk about, then they have all these plans about what they're going to say.
So. Like we have pre-production, and then Garth throws out this thing that I have never thought about in my life.
Well, apparently, he's been saying that people need to not. They need to tighten their belts. They need to not be spending money as if, like, for example, going to Las Vegas. Stop spending money on you know, frivolous things like going to Las Vegas.
I guess that will help the, like, show girls tighten their belts.
Yes. I think their belts are probably tight enough already.
That's true.
Actually, I guess I don't think they even have belts.
But we might only have belts.
Yes, but as big fans, I mean, I'm a big fan of Las Vegas myself.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, you know, it is a place of frivolousness. That despite all the, you know, our very business, we like to play Mahjong, and it's a game that's obviously very suited for a place like Las Vegas or Macau. I have to agree with the president. I think Mahjong is a place for, I mean, not Mahjong. Well, Mahjong is a place for frivolousness also, but. All the same with Las Vegas, and I don't know, but do you feel one way or the other?
I think that everybody should go to Vegas.
Oh, yes, me too.
I mean, I can't, I guess it is frivolous, I don't know, but, so?
Well, yes, but if you don't have any money, I don't think you should be, his point, I think, was something like saying like, you know, people who are trying to save money for college shouldn't be spending that money on going to Las Vegas.
But they might make enough money to go to college. I'm sorry. Well, the thing is, like, I guess because we play games that are based on skill.
Right. I don't think most of the people going to Las Vegas are doing that.
So it's... But, I mean, because of that, I see Vegas in a different way than probably most people do.
Right. And I think most people going to Las Vegas are going to give their money away.
They should give it away to Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil is pretty cool.
We should give it away to Mahjong.
Okay. Well, let's do that instead.
All right. So, having cleared up all those first pre-production issues, let's move on into our next little section, Mahjong News. What's been going on in the world of Mahjong? What's news in the world of Mahjong? Big news would have to be that the World Series of Mahjong is back.
Yes.
There will be a 2010 World Series of Mahjong.
Yep.
You went to Macau
yeah.
for the announcement.
Yeah.
What did they say?
There was a press conference. There were a lot of important people there, among them Jim Marin and John Hardiment, who are the owners of World Mahjong Limited. And they announced their new partnership with the Venetian, which is what took so long last year.
So they're moving the tournament away from the Wynn
yeah.
and over to the Venetian.
Yeah. And it's huge. It's the best thing for them, because the Venetian's going to give them a lot of support.
Really?
Or give us, everyone involved, a lot of support at the event, which is something they weren't getting from the Wynn. So,
interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the win, it was beautiful, it was awesome, but Venetian is just way more involved in the project.
Uh-huh. Can you give any examples? Like, do you know what the Venetian is going to be doing more than the Wynn was doing?
Well, they're going to put up a lot of signage.
Okay.
It's one thing that the Wynn did not have at all.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be signage all over the hotel.
This is, like, during the event to get people who just happened to be at the hotel who weren't there for the World Series.
Yeah.
Excuse me, to still be coming over and looking at what's going on.
Right.
Okay, cool.
There's also going to be a lot of support in terms of qualifiers. They're doing an entire qualifying tour.
Oh, wow. So not just at the Venetian.
Right.
Wow.
So they're going to have one in Tokyo. We'll have one in Tokyo. We just decided the date for that is July 30th.
Very nice.
The idea for that qualifier, this is for the main event. We're only talking about main event qualifiers right now. There will also be one in Taiwan. And one in Australia. And the one in Tokyo, the idea is that you'll have to qualify through Mahjong parlors. It will be a free roll. And people that qualify through Mahjong parlors will get a ticket into this free roll. And the top two players will move on to the main event and also get airfare and boarding.
Wow, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, so the Venetian is, you know, they're offering their support with those things, with promotion of those events, everything like that. Also, we are going to have, sorry, Garth is all, he's trying to be very sneaky about looking at the screen, but okay, stop distracting me, sorry. We're also going to have six qualifiers in Tokyo for the Reach event, because the Reach event is back as well. It's going to
be
8,000 Hong Kong dollar entry, which is about 1,000 US.
Uh-huh.
And there will be six qualifying tournaments in Tokyo, one a month starting in March. 6,000 yen entry, and there will be a sponsored package for the winner.
Very nice.
ReachMahjong.com will sponsor the package to the winner to enter the Reach event, as well as help with airfare and boarding.
That all sounds pretty exciting. So the format of the World Series, then, there will be a main event.
Yeah.
The main event is how many days?
It will be 3 days.
3 days.
20th, 21st, 22nd. The main event this year, they have changed the concept completely. Used to be the main event was $5,000.
Right.
Now the main event is around $600.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the exact number with the exchange rate, but I think it's $550 plus $100, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I have those numbers wrong, but it's on the website. I should have written it down and brought it with me, but it's between $500 and $600. And they're hoping for 1,000 players.
Okay.
So it's going to be huge. They also have the $5,000 event that's coming back. It's going to be the High Rollers event.
All right.
I think that's going to be on Sunday, a one-day event.
So it'll just be one day?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the Reach event will also be a one-day event happening on which day?
On Thursday, August 19th.
Thursday. Yeah. So the Reach event happens on the 19th. Then the main event starts on the 20th.
Right.
And goes through the 22nd.
Right.
And the High Roller event will also be on the 22nd?
I think it's on the 22nd. It could be on the 21st, but I think it's on the 22nd.
Okay. So if you're doing well in the main event, you wouldn't actually be able to participate in the
You'll be able to participate in at least two events, the Reach and the main event.
Uh-huh.
Also, the Reach event, the final table will probably be on Friday.
Oh, okay.
It'll probably be a short final table, something like two games, and it will be the next day.
Okay. And anybody that wanted to play in both the Reach event and the main event would get a bye. It would automatically be playing in like the second round.
Right,
of the second part of the first round. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that is really exciting to be getting back into the World Series of Mahjong. And remember, part of your ticket to the World Series of Mahjong could be through ReachMahjong.com.
Yes. And there will be a lot of online qualifiers as well. So
right.
Look for those. We'll, of course, announce them all. Everything.
All right. Well, there are other Reach Mahjongs out in the world there, too. For example, the European Open Reach Mahjong Tournament will be held in the second week of July. We are both planning on going to that, right?
Yes.
Do you know any other American players? Is Benjamin going to that too, or is he going to be
I'm not sure, actually.
I'm not sure if he's going to be playing or if he's going to be officiating.
I saw that another American player from New York, I think part of the new USPML, going to play. I saw that on Mahjong News. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. I should really prepare for this, but I left it all up to Garth, so.
Yes, I should prepare for this. this.
Yeah, I put on makeup for the podcast. So.
Yes, she's looking very nice. Very nice. Okay, yes, so we'll have a small contingent there from the U.S.
Yep, and of course Gemma will be there, our partner in crime, on reachmontong.com. I think
she's
going to road trip.
One of those other English-speaking countries, not the U.S., right?
Right, if you can call it. Okay, anyway. we're going to road trip, I think, from the U.K.
Wow.
To Germany.
Oh, right through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Bit exciting, exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, and I hear also the week after that, you will be at the... Oh, no, 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 I'm sorry. That, the week before that, 2 weeks before that.
2 weeks before that.
You will also be at the Reach Championship in the U.K.
It's the first Open. They had one tournament last year to kind of test the waters, and this year they're going to have the first Open Reach tournament in Guildford.
Wow, exciting.
I hope I said that right.
How many did they have, do you remember, for the first tournament last year?
No, I don't remember. It was really small. Something really like small. 20 people. It was it was really a feeler tournament. So they're going to have the Open one this year, 2 weeks before the one in Hanover. And so Gemma and I will go there, and we're going to road trip to Germany from there.
Wow, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Wish I could participate, but since I will be participating probably in... Special League again. It will not be possible for me to miss.
It's after Special League.
Right, but Special League will probably be that next week.
Special League will probably be during Hanover.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I guess I better just finish Special League at the top this year. This session. Yes. Oh, and then one other tournament that's coming up around that time is the first ever Washizu tournament in the Netherlands, which will be coming on 1 week after the European Reach Open in Hanover.
Yes. In the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands. Leave it up to those crazy Dutch to start playing with tiles that everybody can see. What's going on? Be very interesting to see how that goes.
Well, you know, Akagi is so popular.
It is.
And especially outside of Japan.
Huh.
So, I mean, that's how a lot of people got into Mahjong. So it's you know, of course they'll want to try and play a tournament like that. I think it should be really interesting. I'm really, really looking forward to how it turns out.
Yes. Maybe it'll be like a sort of gateway Mahjong into, you know, Reach Mahjong.
Well, it is Reach.
Yes.
See the tiles.
It's Reach with an added twist.
Yes.
Okay, that's the news from the world of Mahjong. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the various leagues around, well, not all around Japan, mostly just the league that we're concerned with, our league. It's been a pretty exciting season here in the Japanese Professional Mahjong League. At the top of the list in A1, Shibata. This is actually not quite the most exciting part about the league, because who the heck is this guy?
Are you sure you're reading it right?
I'm pretty sure. Really?
I don't know, it's kanji.
I'm pretty sure that guy's name is Shibata. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's been in A1 for a while, and whenever he's doing well, people always say, oh, hey, do you know who's doing at the top of A1? And I'm like, yeah, it's like some guy named Shibata. And they're like, you don't have any idea who he is, right? They're right. I have no idea who this guy is. I don't see him at any of the other big tournaments. He doesn't come to Sparta or anything. But there he is at the top of A1 and kind of killing it. He will probably be in the competition with Maehara and two other guys whose names are not very notable either. How do these people...
Really?
How do these super high-level Mahjong players stay so low under the radar?
I think it's that they're up there because they're low on the radar. People don't know how to play against them.
Yes, Arasan was at the very top of the field for a while, but in the last two sessions he had a minus 25, minus 86. That has pushed him down to fifth.
Wow, I know how those minus 86s go.
Yes, they're kind of rough. They definitely set you back a few spots in the ranking. Barisetto Kuma in A1 League is in seventh. He's kind of an interesting... He's always right there in the middle. He's never really in danger of being in that top group or falling out. He's just kind of... I'm just going to hang out here in A1 and, you know, not make any noise. He's one of those guys that doesn't make any noise either, except that, you know, he does other stuff, so you still see him around.
He's always around. He's working or playing.
Right. Mochizuki, he was one of the previous Phoenix Cup winners. looks like he will probably be moving down, as not only was he having a rough season already, but then at, I think, one or two sessions ago, he had a big minus 100 because he had a penalty for missing one of the sessions.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's so rare in A1.
Yeah, isn't that?
Nobody ever misses.
I think he may have had some sort of accident or had to go to the hospital or something.
There must have been a big reason for it.
So let's see, moving down to A2, one of our mentors, Mr. Sawazaki, is having a great season himself. In fact, he's having kind of a great year since the beginning of last year. He's at plus 230 in A1. The next person down, Fujisaki Tomo, has 142. So it looks like Mr. Sawazaki will be moving back into A1. He was A1 for a while and then had dropped down to A2, but he will be jumping back up to A1. To the big leagues, or to the big league. Mm. Like I said, Fujisaki Tomo is at 142 in second place. In third place, not too far behind him, is Nakamura. And in fourth, also just behind him, is Imazato. So they do have a chance. Those two guys are within 40 points of Mr. Fujisaki. They have a chance to...
Two people move up, right?
Right, this only two.
The last session coming up.
Right.
I was actually eating with an A2er yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I'd prefer not to say his name on here, but...
Okay.
I've been hanging out with an A2er for a while lately, and he actually, calculated the D1 league for me.
Calculated?
Calculated the progressing pattern of how much the border goes up each session.
Really?
And how much he thought I would need if I wanted to move up, and even though I only have plus 3. And
what?
So, and the thing with A2ers is they always know who they're going to play with next.
Uh-huh.
In the A-Leagues, the tables are already decided.
Right.
And most of them know how each other plays and how each other are going to play in certain situations. So they're always, planning for that. That was really interesting. I heard all about this last night, but... It's a really different game when you get up there.
It is a totally different game. They are thinking on a far different and deeper level than I think we are down in the lower leagues. also in A2, Aki Nikaido has bounced back with a big plus 95 in the seventh session.
Wow.
She was having kind of a rough start and looked like she was going to drop right back down to B1, but with that big 95, she looks like she'll probably be safely staying in A2 as long as she has an okay session at the end of this one.
That's good. I really hope she does. I'm really rooting
absolutely
for her to...
In 11th place, not too far from the dropping out border, is Takizawa. He's had a lot of small minuses, which has pushed him down to minus 33. That puts him pretty... Well, not actually that close. In place-wise, it's close to the border, which is 13th. But that person, Ide, has minus 85 at the moment. So yes, it looks like Taki would need a little bit of... It would need kind of a bad session to actually have to drop down to that minus 85 mm-hmm. border. Let's see, looking one league down in B1, Nishi Tamago? Is that the way his name is? I don't know, that's the only way I could read that.
Maybe Nishitama?
Nishitama, okay, yeah, I could not figure out.
Is there a ko at the end of it?
He is also, well no, it was. It looked like the Tamago, the egg kanji, except there was something extra on the left. But
okay.
But we'll call him the West Egg. He's killing the field in B1 with 185 points. Next below him is Iwai Kenta, who has 72. If he holds on to that second place, he and the West Egg guy will go up to A2. In third place is Sarukawa, only 2 points behind Mr. Iwai.
Wow.
So Sarukawa also has a big chance to move up to A2, along with Uchikawa, who is also only 12 points behind.
Wow.
So,
it's going to be an exciting last session.
Yes, the B1 session will be exciting to the end, also including Sasaki, who is currently in 11th place, which is the border for dropping down. He's got a minus 13th right now, and the current 10th place person has minus 3. So he's got to get a little bit of a positive to keep himself in B1.
How's Kono doing in B2?
In B2, one of the other players that we like to follow, Oba, or at least I'm always interested in because he's one of our contemporaries, started out with us at the same time in D2 several years ago and has somehow managed...
We're going into our fifth year, you know that?
Yes, we are.
I can't believe it.
Here we are at the end of our fourth year, and we are one entire league above where we started, whereas Oba is... like two entire letters above where we started. In danger of moving himself up to B1, he is in fifth place with plus 55, and the current border is at 86, so he would need a good plus to round out the session there to jump into B1. Our buddy Kono is not having such a great season. He is at minus 106.
Ouch.
And the current border at 11th place is minus 40. He's in 14th place. And right below him is another one of our buddies, Kozue. She's got minus 117. So Kono and Kozue have a little bit of a work cut out for them.
Yeah.
Work cut out for them to hold on to their spots in B2.
Can we skip down to us?
Yes. Us.
I know, the other people, there's a lot of cute girls in there, but...
Yes. and, yeah, people we like to follow, but... Yours truly, I am currently sucking it up at the bottom again of D2. I have a minus 75. That puts me in 33rd place, and the dropping down border is at 35th with a minus 84. So if I just stay positive,
hardest thing to do in all of Mahjong.
Stay positive. I will probably be able to stay in D2, and actually, even if you fall down too low, a lot of people drop out anyway, so you end up staying in anyway.
Yeah, when you are at the border and you drop down, then people quit and you get to stay. When I drop down, nobody quits.
Yes. Well, the other thing is that I would really like to get a get myself somehow positive, because I am doing well enough in the special league that if I had a positive score, I'd probably get to move up to C2.
Oh, that's how I felt last month. And guess what? I got a positive score. And then guess what? Crapped up the...
Yes, well...
Special League.
Special League, I am doing... I'm so much farther ahead than the current fourth place person that it'd be hard for me to screw that up.
Well, that's how I was. I had 70 points in third place.
Uh-huh.
And fourth place had 16 points.
Well, I think that was me.
No, you weren't. You were negative at that time.
I haven't been negative in Special League yet. So I think I had maybe 12 points then.
It wasn't you, though. You weren't fourth place. It was... Chinese character name.
I had a big session that the last time in Special League, and you had kind of a big session in the other direction.
Yeah.
but having had a good positive session in Normal League, you are back up to plus 3 and 19th place. And the current border for moving up to C3 is 64. So you'd need kind of a big plus to move up to C3, but at least you won't be dropping down like I have to worry about.
Yeah. Well, the border, I guess we're expecting it to be about plus 80 in D1.
Uh-huh.
So that's my goal, I guess.
All right.
But we still have a chance in the Special League.
Right.
I mean, anyone who's left in the Special League still has a chance.
Right. Theoretically, there is still always that possibility.
Well, there's a lot of people from fourth place down, I think. People around zero are pretty... Uh-huh. Most people are around zero. There's not huge, huge differences after first through third, so...
Okay, and one other league I wanted to talk about was Champions League. Sawazaki is also killing it in Champions League with 240 points. The next person down has 140. So it looks like he will get the free pass to the round of 16. And, wow, there's a lot of big names in the top 30 at the moment. Nakata, the girl who did well in... whatchamacallit? Oisen. Taki Uchi... Amy, what is Amy's last name?
Hojo.
Hojo.
We did introduce her on the forums before.
Yes. Yamai, Aisawa, and Nakamura, that guy who in A2 who looks like he might be, and Imazato. So some big names in the Champions League. Could be an interesting final for the Champions League there coming up next month. All right, that's the league wrap-up.
Can we talk about one more league real quick?
Oh, one more league, yes.
In North Kanto.
Oh, North Kanto League,
yeah.
Yes. And you are killing it, or not killing it, but you're doing very well, yes?
Actually, I am. So until last month, I think I wrote a column about it, but I was second place in the Pro League.
Uh-huh.
Or third place. Maybe I was down to third. without my third session score, with everyone else's third session score. I was in third place. And in the Pro Amateur League, I was in second place. So I was at the very top of both of them.
Wow.
I dropped down a little bit in the Pro Amateur League. I'm still plus, and I'm still in a good position to come back in the final session if I have a good session. In the Pro League, I'm still in second place, right behind Ayasawa. I mean, she has like 200 and something, and I have like 130, I think, or something like that. So I'm in a really good position in the Pro League.
So in the Pro League, they round out the season by having a final with the top four players?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That should be exciting.
So if I can just not lose.
Good.
Seems to be the theme today.
Good luck. Good luck. Looking forward to hearing the report on that league.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I played against some really good players. There's a lot of good players in the North Kanto League.
I think Fujisaki Tomo, he plays
in
up there also.
Yeah,
right?
Sawazaki's in there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Also,
oh, that's
Yukio Yoshida, which is another player that's on Mahjong Fight Club, and he's in A2.
Uh huh.
Kaori Shimizu is in the league as well. This past session, there's usually a guest, so this past session, Fujiwara was the guest there.
Really?
Yep, and I played with him one time. And
speaking of Fujiwara, he has also come back from kind of a bad start in A2 to get himself back to probably not dropping out of A2.
Oh, good. Good, I like Fujiwara.
Way to go, Fujiwara.
Yeah.
Okay, that wraps up our league talk. Let's get into our strategy talk. Tankimachi. Okay. Tankimachi, for those of us who aren't familiar with the Japanese, is the single tile wait. You have the rest of your hand all put together, and you're waiting for one tile to complete your head, or atama. To make your pair. A pair in your hand. All right, there are some obvious situations where you would have to use this weight. For example, what situations would you think of?
All pairs.
All right, that's the obvious. You can't do it without this one. Are there any other situations where you find yourself using a tankimachi?
Sometimes for the all sets hand, toi toi. Yeah, sometimes you end up with a...
Oh, I see. After having pawned a couple, you end up with a single tile weight somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
All right. That's one I hadn't thought of.
If you call four times.
Right. That's known as the naked single tile weight in Japanese, hadaka tanki. Some other situations where I happen to have... I run into this is in chanta or junchan, the outside hands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for example, I get to the... I get my fourth triple already in my hand, you know, you end up waiting for a one or a nine or perhaps a letter tile. And depending on the way, you know, my discards are, I may leech in that situation. It depends on what my discards look like. And, you know, if it looks like that's the kind of thing I'm waiting for, well, then I'm not going to reach with that because then people are going to be more careful with it. What do you think about, tankimachi in like a mensu type hand? So, all right, it's true that you know, the outside hands are mensu type hands. When we say mensu, that means like you have triples, like real triples, not like cheap, like seven pairs. Do you ever use tankimachi in that situation?
I do use a single weight sometimes when I'm waiting for a dora.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
That would probably be the most common, because you don't want to discard it, and you're stuck with this one single Dora, and now all you can do is wait for it. All
right, that does make sense.
So that would probably be the most common time I use it, otherwise not that common.
Right, and the thing is, when you do that, I mean, you realize, okay, look, I can't drop this, and I'm going to go with this hand as it is anyways, I might as well reach. You know, it's the final state of your hand. You're kind of just shooting yourself in the foot if you don't reach, right? So, but you also realize that you're making a bad bet. As you're making this bet, you realize you're saying, you know, if I manage to win this hand somehow, I got lucky.
Mm.
It's not a great bet, right? You kind of have to do it because you're stuck into this situation, but you're also realizing at the same time that it's not a great bet.
Right.
Okay, how about this hand? This is a hand I ran into in the Dragon King tournament. for the listeners, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9. So 1 through 9 plus one more 9 in the characters and East, 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 so a triple of the Easts, and one white dragon. So, the options you have here are to hold on to the, to throw the white dragon, hold on to the 9, and then you're waiting for the 3, 6, 9 in characters.
Right.
And as it happened this time, the 6 was Dora. The lucky dragon was 6.
This is the East round, or?
This was the East round, fourth hand of the East round, and the guy was in the East. The guy was in the West seat.
Okay.
It was the 7th draw, and one of the white tiles was already out, and none of the 3, 6, or 9 was out. Although 4 of them were already in his hand. Right.
Right.
What would you do in this situation?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't say that the white single weight is bad weight.
You can't say it's bad. Okay.
Because the Dora is 6 of cracks.
All right. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
And I was livid when I, you know, the guy across from me reached, and then he threw that 6. Of course, he threw the 6, so he would have drawn his 6, and he would have gotten Baimon. He would have gotten 16,000 points if he had gone with the weight that I thought was so obviously the superior play. And then when I got to ready, of course, I was waiting for the 6-9, and of course, I oikake leached. And of course, what did I draw but the white dragon? And I threw him the white dragon, and I threw him 16,000 of my points, and basically my shot at winning the tournament.
Well, if he discards the white dragon, he only has 2 chances at the full straight, so it's only Hanemon. It's only 12,000.
If he discards the white dragon, then he has to draw the 9, or he has to get the 9.
Well,
I guess the
6 also makes it Baimon, but...
Right. And he did actually draw the 6 himself, right. which would have made it Baimon.
Right.
As it turned out, I threw the white dragon, and it was his winner, and it was good for 16,000 points, and I was irate, so I went to everybody I knew to see if this was a totally lousy play, and I was really shocked. While everybody said that they, Taki, Yamai, and Sasaki, said that they would all go with the 3, 6, 9 weight, they did also say that the white dragon weight was a viable play.
Well, the thing is, I think that if I went for the white dragon weight, I would not reach.
Okay.
That's the difference.
That's interesting, but then that doesn't give you the Baimon unless you draw it.
I'm not sure I need the Baimon. I need the win. I need to book this big win, because it's a big hand either way.
That's what I would have thought. But the thing is, it did work. And and Hisato's reasoning was that, that it's more likely once you reach that somebody will throw that white dragon.
That's true.
Whereas the 3, 6, 9, once you reach, it's very unlikely that anybody is going to throw any of those, and you're really going to have to draw that one.
Exactly. That's what I was saying before with why it was not a bad weight compared to the 3, 6, 9. Because,
right.
Because it's the Dora. It's the octaves for the Dora.
So my point here is that sometimes you need to think a little different. You have to accept that your preconceived idea, just because it's a three-sided weight, 3, 6, 9, it's not necessarily better than that Tanki Machi.
Right.
And I got a big lesson there in that at the end of my Yuo Sen anyway, which was ended by that hand. Okay, that wraps up our strategy talk, and that wraps up most of our podcast.
Yeah, and we're gonna go weekly from now on. So it was a little bit long this time, but it will be a little bit shorter, and we'll be doing it more often from now on.
Yes. We won't have so much to talk about.
We'll be talking about everything as it happens instead of a month later.
Trying to sum it all up in one session.
Right.
So yes, we will have more to talk about very soon in after our final session of the league. We hope to see you again here next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening in to the ReachMahjong.com podcast. Check us out on ReachMahjong.com.
本家リーチに一発ロー南生麻雀やりましょう目指すはもちろん役満床モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンス麻雀ワイドクラブ